before I begin, I want everyone to stand, those that are willing and able. And I want you to stretch out your arms into heaven. I want you to go like this. Stretch out both if you can, if you're willing. Father, for every hand and arm that's stretched out, Lord, I'm asking, Lord, that those that are weary and tired, strengthen them, oh God. I'm asking you, Lord, for those that are waiting, oh God, on prayers that seem that are hopeless and dead in situations that's lost life, oh God, answer them today, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, for those, oh God, that need a touch of heaven and they're contacting you today, Lord God. I'll be the lifter of the heads today, oh God. I'm asking you, Lord God, would you come and breathe on your people today, oh God. Breathe hope again. Breathe strength again. And give us power. Power from on high, oh Lord. Because we're your people. So Father, stretch out your hand now for us. Touch us, oh God, now, oh Father. And we ask you this in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we say amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Today's sermon is a little bit different. But the title is, It's Time to Stretch. And that's why I ask you to get up and stretch your arms unto heaven. And in the natural, we all need to stretch. It helps circulation. It helps blood flow, oxygen to your brain and to your cells. It lubricates joints. Because when we sit a long, long time, muscles lose their flexibility, muscles get shorter, muscles lose strength. So we need to stretch. We need to stretch before exercise. We need to stretch after exercise. We need to be stretching every single day. So it says here also, it prevents injuries. It's like if you've been sitting all day long, or all week long, or all year long, and you try to go and play basketball, or you try to play tennis, or you try to play something simple, you will injure your muscle because it hasn't been stretched. So stretching is super important, and we need to stretch every single day. So we're going to get up and stretch. I'm going to start, I'm going to reference five Bible passages, and the first one is 2 Kings. And it's about the Shunammite woman, and it's about Elijah. And the Shunammite woman was barren. She was a woman of wealth and everything else. And when she saw Elijah come, she knew that she knew Elijah was a man of God. And as he came, she decided to, because she was rich, was able to build him a separate bedroom, an upper room. And as the years go by, she had everything. She was childless. And Elijah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, promised her that the Lord will actually give her a son. And she did. And the years pass, the boy is born, the boy gets sick, and the boy dies. And the boy, when he dies, she calls Elijah. And Elijah, first of all, he sends his servant Gehazi. He sends him with his staff. And he went and he laid his staff on this dead son, on this dead boy, on this corpse, and nothing happens. And I want to just say something. When the Lord calls you to do something, don't send your associate, don't send your colleague, don't send your friend, don't send the co-pastor, don't send anyone else that you think should go. God is sending you, you go. So when he went, I love this story. Because we have to stretch when everything is dead. So he tells everybody, get out of the room. He closes to shut the door. And he stretches on the boy. And the Bible's so clear and detailed. It says, nose to nose, eye to eye, face to face, head to head, mouth to mouth, hand to hand. And three times he prays over this dead boy until he comes to life. There's times in our life where we're like the Shunammite woman. There are dead relationships. There are dead people in your family that are dead in their trespasses and sin. There's people that we know that are dead in their sin. There's people that we know that have addictive behaviors. There's people that we know that if Christ will come today, that will go straight to hell. And the Lord is saying, stretch yourself in prayer when all hope is gone. Because when you're dead, you're dead. He wasn't pseudo dead. He wasn't playing dead. He wasn't pretending to be dead. The boy was dead. But that did not stop the prophet in stretching out over that dead son. It didn't stop the mother to call the prophet in intercession that she wanted her son back. And many of us, I'm saying, Lord, I want my family back. I want my sister back. I want my husband back. I want that dead ministry to come alive again. I want those things that are dead in me to come alive again. So we're going to stretch out in prayer until we see life and life forevermore. So that's the first stretching. Stretch when everything is hopeless. Stretch when everything is dead. Stretch when you think that no hope is there. Stretch anyway. Stretch into this life. Stretch until you see God move. Stretch yourself out. Then there's a time, he tells us, stretch when you're weary. You know, there's a story in Exodus, actually Leviticus. And it says that Moses was on the hill. And the Hebrews were fighting their favorite enemies, the Amalekites. And the Amalekites were beating the Hebrews. But it says that when Moses stretched out his arm in intercession, and let me tell you, when the Jew prayed, there was three ways he prayed, stretching out his hand. And when Moses kept his arms up, the battle was being won. But Moses grew tired, and Moses grew weary, and his arms began to slip. And when his arm began to slip, the battle was turned over for the Amalekites, and they began to win. The enemy was winning over the people of God. Only because he grew tired and weary. And there's people in the sound of my voice that you're tired and you're weary. You're not angry. You haven't forsaken God. You haven't given up all hope. But the battle was fierce. The battle has been long. The struggle is real. And you did not anticipate, just like Moses, how long, how hard the battle was going to be. And because he was tired, his arms fell. And there's people here today that I believe God wants you to stretch out your arm in spite of how weary and tired you feel. But you see, what's amazing about the Lord is he brought two people, Aaron and Ur. And if Aaron and Ur just put rocks underneath the arms of Moses, if they didn't dismiss Moses and they didn't tell him, Pastor Minor, you know, you keep on walking, we'll do this. They came to sustain him because he was the intercessor. So he was the one over them. And as he just was able to lift up his arms again, because there was people that were willing to be his kindred spirit. People, you see, the Lord always sent us two by two. Don't isolate yourself. The worst thing you can do is isolation. First of all, it's not biblical. The Bible tells us he sent us two by two. Whether it's two or three and you gather in his name, he's in the midst. But when you isolate yourself, you're a prey to the enemy. And Aaron and Ur came to the leader and just strengthened his arms up. And as he strengthened his arms up, then the battle was won. So we need someone to come alongside of us to agree. If you agree, if you touch and agree, then he will answer from heaven. Touch and agree. He will answer from heaven. So when Aaron and Ur came to strengthen the leader of the group, the battle was won. And sometimes there's battles in our life that suck the very life out of us. There are battles in our lives that come and they're so sudden and they're so destructive and they take us so, they shock us that we don't know what to do. The best thing you can do is call on an Aaron and an Ur. And you stretch yourself out in prayer. You stretch out those muscles that you didn't know you have. You stretch out muscles that you haven't used in a long, long time. But you believe. You don't stop believing. But you need to come and gather yourself with someone that believes the way you believe. Someone that's going to help you to believe. And someone that's going to stand and sustain your arms. I love this. I love this. He says, stretch because the Lord says so. That's Isaiah chapter 54, verses 1 to 3. It says, sing, oh sing, barren woman, because you have children more than the married woman. I love that because that's so personal to me. But then it says, extend the curtains of your tent and come and stretch out the pegs that others can come in. And I think about this. See, the Lord came to seek and save that which was lost. The Lord came to seek and save those that are straight going to hell. The Lord came for you and for me, for sinners like you and for I. And the Lord came to what? To rescue us from sin. And when I look at the balcony, I said, God, we need to fill this balcony. We need to stretch out. We need to stretch out to the world that is lost. We need to stretch out the 10 pegs of Elohim. We need to stretch out to come and rescue people. The destiny is one place, and that's next stop, hell. We need to stretch out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because he said, go to the highways and to the byways and compel them to come in. That means that they're not going to come just to come. We are the ones sent to go. Go to the highways and the byways. Go to the parks. Go to wherever it is that you see a lost person and share the gospel and let the house of God be full and make his joy complete. Because in that extension, it's like when a woman is pregnant. Oh, there's a lot of extension there, right? In order to make that baby be comfortable, the baby pushes, the baby grows, and so does the woman. And the baby grows, and we all know that someone's pregnant just by looking at the person. Oh, that person looks like she's having twins. She might be having just one, but the baby decided, I want more room. I want more room. Give me room. So she begins to stretch. Her womb begins to stretch. And there's a womb here in Elohim that God is saying, I want to stretch you. I want birth new life. I want to birth new joy. I want to birth new souls. I want to birth people that don't know who I am or who have no idea who I am. So come, sing along. I love it. It says, sing, oh, sing. Even before the promise, he's calling us to sing. Even before the promise, he's not sending out the army. He's sending out the worshipers. Even before the promise come true, he said, come, let's sing. Let's sing and rejoice because my sister will one day be saved. Let's sing because that boss that you don't like, the one that gets on your nerves, right, could be saved. Could be saved. And the greatest thing is that God wants them to be saved. Every time we go to prison, It just astonishes me, marvels me. It takes out the breath of my lungs to see what these people have done, to know what they've done, and yet the mercy of God is reaching out, is stretching out to these men that they too will have forgiveness and mercy, and they too will walk in righteousness the way you and I can walk in righteousness. So it says, stretch. Stretch until that baby comes forth. Stretch until those new souls come forth. Stretch until you see the pew get full. Stretch until you see this house get full. Stretch until you see new souls, new faces. Stretch until we see people that once were in sin, deep in sin, and they were just so trapped in sin, and they thought they couldn't get rid of the sin until Jesus walked into their lives, and he stretched his hand, and they were set free. So the womb of Elohim is stretching. The womb of Elohim is growing. The womb of Elohim is making room for new people to be saved and to be saved forevermore. So we stretch, we stretch, we stretch, because God says so. In Isaiah 54, he said, oh, just stretch. And there's certain times when we want someone to come and say, why should I do this? And why should I do that? You know, not here, right? Just the why, you know, why should I? What should I minister? And why should, you know, Pastor Gil, you know, why should I come to rehearsal? Because God says so. Period. Period. He says, stretch out. That's it. He didn't take a survey. He didn't take a poll. He didn't ask your opinion. He said, because I say so. And when we do things in obedience to the Lord, there's fruitfulness. When we do things in obedience for Christ, there's always life. So stretch out your womb of compassion. Stretch out your prayers. Go beyond your own family and intercede for others. Stretch out for this nation that is so deep in sin, and it gets darker and darker as the day goes by. And let's make room for those that need to know the Lord and God wants them in their house. So we stretch. Could the Lord say so? I hear that the trainer says, Ruth, you just got to stretch. I don't know about that. Then I fail. Stretch. Stretch because the Lord says so, guys. Just because he says so. Just because he wants you to do it. Just because he knows there's life. Just because he knows he can change your life if you do so. Just because he knows you'll become an effective witness to him and the kingdom if you stretch. There's another story that I really love as well. And this is the one found in John. Stretch out your withered hand. Stretch out your withered hand. The story goes that there was a man that had a withered hand. It was a Sabbath day, and Jesus was in town. Jesus was near, and he knew that Jesus was there. And Jesus told the withered man, or the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. And of course, the religious folks, religion always gets in the way, were critical, were very critical of what Jesus did, because it was the Sabbath. But that didn't stop Jesus from telling the man, stretch out your withered hand. See, the hand was withered. The hand was dry. The hand has lost its functionality. The hand did not work. He had a hand. It just didn't work. And Jesus, it's important for us to have hands that are, what do? Everything we do it with the hand. Think about what you do with your hand. You cook, you wash, you smack people, you slap people with your hand. You know, with your hand. You know, we say amen, Lord bless you, and we come and I just put my hand on Pastor. Oh, Pastor, I love you, God bless you. And then I slap somebody else with the same hand. But the hand was withered. And Jesus told him, stretch out your hand. And he trusted Jesus to stretch out his hand that was withered. I remember last year at this point, I was in the hospital. I thank God for Jasmine. Where's Jasmine? Well, she's not. Well, she was here. Jasmine. I thank God for Pastor Victor and for Bruni that they were away in a cruise, I believe. I know that was somewhere. And they called me at the hospital. I went to Canada. And we celebrated 25 years of wedding anniversary last year. Phenomenal trip. Phenomenal trip. My hand, this finger began to swell. Then the whole hand swelled. Then my hand was shut tight. And I was walking around Canada like I'm going to enjoy this trip because my husband paid good money and he did really good. My husband was really concerned. So as soon as the first stop we actually made was here at Elohim. And Jasmine came with us to the hospital. All of a sudden, these doctors, because I look just like this, with a swollen hand. That's all I look like this, with a swollen hand. So they began to scurry around. They got all excited. They got nervous. They said I got to be admitted. I go, this is crazy. Just give me something so I can go home. Well, it turns out, after the fact, that what I had could actually have killed me. I learned that after I was discharged. That's why they were so concerned. All the IVs, all of this, all of that. It was just crazy. So I was going for surgery on a Sunday. That's how urgent it became. When they operate you on a Sunday, that's urgency. And there's a second time they were going to operate me on a Sunday. That's another story. But anyway, so this lady, I'll never forget her. I wish I would have taken down her name, right, Hector? She was from Jamaica. She was from Jamaica. She came and says, "You are a godly woman. And your husband is a pastor and a prophet." That's what she said over my husband. I looked at her and I go, "I know I'm a godly woman. The pastor and prophet, I don't know. But I know I'm godly." I know he's my pastor. And she goes, "I command that abomination to detach itself from this hand. I command that healing will flow from your hand. I command what the enemy has tried to do in this marriage to destroy you. I command it to be destroyed." And she leaves. My husband leaves. Everybody falls asleep. It was a beautiful place where I was in the hospital. It turned into a psych ward. That's what it turned at the end. People screaming and yelling. I said, "Oh my God. Oh my God. This is crazy here." So nevertheless, I fell asleep. And all of a sudden, I felt someone touching this arm. And I go, "Oh God, let me open my eyes." I didn't see anyone. But I heard a voice here in my heart and it says, "Ruth," I couldn't open my hand, guys. "Ruth, stretch out your hand." And I did that. I did that. I go, "Oh my God, I can stretch out my hand." I was scheduled at 8 o'clock. The surgeon came down and I says, "Okay, Ruth, we're taking you up." And I go, "I don't think so. I don't think so." And so the first surgeon came down to make sure. Because you see, Jesus touched my hand and he made it well again. I want to liken this to ministry. Because the Bible says to put your hand onto the what? The plow. Pastor, minor, put your hand on that ministry that dried up and stretch it out that God would touch it. Oh, because you see, because sometimes ministry can become mundane. And sometimes the ministry can become common. And we forget that God is supernatural. And we forget that God is still in the business of doing great and mighty things. So the part that's dry in your life, those dry things, those hopeless things, give it to Jesus. You know, stretch it out. And symbolic to the Lord, I'm giving you this dry, withered hand. I have my hand, but it's not functioning. We were created to function. We're created to bear fruit. We're created to do good. We were created to be workers of the kingdom. So stretch out your hand one more time. Oh, that with a hand, that with a ministry, those with our hopes, stretch them out to Jesus because he wants to touch you. He's telling you, stretch out. But you see, when he asks you to stretch out, you got to do the stretching. And sometimes Jesus is saying, "It's dried up. It's time to go. Just get up and do it. Just go. Just go. Get up and do it. Just go. Just go." Because you see, religion will put you in a box. Well, religion will tell you, "You can't do this." Religion will tell Pastor Carlos, "Oh, Pastor Carlos, your church is too liberal." Amen to that. "Your church is too, it's going really far off." Amen to that. "Oh, your church is this and that." Pastor Carlo, you keep on stretching out. Because their hands may be withered, but yours not. Yours not. Religion will tell you, "Oh, but it's the Sabbath. We don't do that here." Well, go somewhere else where they do. Because we do. Stretch out your hand, neither. Stretch it out until life comes back. Stretch it out. Stretch it out. So then it comes. Stretch out your withered hand despite the religious opposition. You know, sometimes the greatest opposition isn't the world. We think it's the world. It's not. The greatest opposition comes from those within. From those who hands are so dried and so brittle that they want you to remain the same way they are. I got news for you. I'm not. You're not. Pastor, you're not. Because the Elohim is a church on the move. And we're going to stretch out everything that's maybe have withered until God brings it back to life. So stretch out what is dry and lost its function. And stretch out that withered hand again. And then it says here, you know, stretch out yourself in prayer when all hope is gone. And I have to end with this one. It's in Acts. I don't think I gave you this one. But Peter and John, chapter 4, they were at the council because they were preaching Jesus. And they knew that they knew the way they spoke and the way they behaved. They say they knew they had been with Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? When people can say, you know what? Hector, I know that you know you've been with Jesus. Your conversation should be an indicator that you've been with Jesus. Your behavior should be an indicator that you've been with Jesus. Well, now we have done the stretching, right? Now we're asking the Lord to stretch down for us. And they said, Lord, stretch out your holy hand and might that we will produce signs and wonders and that we will speak in boldness in the holy name of Jesus. They're asking the Lord from heaven. Now it's time for God to stretch out his hand and touch us. Touch us that we may be the church empowered with the Holy Spirit. Touch us that signs and wonders may occur. Touch us that if someone needs healing, there's a doctor in the house. Touch us if someone is battling depression, there's a doctor in the house. Touch us if someone's battling a sin, there's a doctor in the house. Touch us that when we need to go to our jobs and we need to stand in public places and we're the only Christian, touch us with boldness that we may be able to share the goodness of God in the land of the living. Because what we're living today is serious. Either you're going to talk about Jesus or you're not. You make the choice. But if you ask the Lord to stretch out his hand and touch your lips, oh, that he would touch your mind. Oh, that he would stretch out and touch my family. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. They face opposition from the culture that we're in. So are we. They face opposition from the government that they were. So are we. They face opposition from the religious folks. So are we. But we're asking the Lord, stretch out your hand, Lord. Stretch it out in the public schools. Every year the curriculum gets more decadent and decadent and decadent. There's such confusion. Oh, stretch out your hand upon every young person that's going away to college. Oh, that they will stand firm in the Lord and the power of his might. So we ask God, stretch out. He tells us to do stretching. And we can tell him, you stretch out too, Lord. Stretch out. Stretch out. Ask the Lord to stretch out his hand until you see the answer. You see, sometimes we are so weary and so tired. And sometimes we have bit the bait of the lie of the enemy that we stop praying too early. We stop believing too quickly. We stop believing, and we believe the lie of the enemy. No, stretch out until you hear and see the answer to your prayers. Don't quit praying. Stretch yourself out. Just pretend to be like a prostrator before God. I'm stretching out myself, O Lord, until you answer me. I'm going to knock on the door of heaven until he probably gets sick of me, but I know he won't. So I'm going to knock and I'm going to knock and I'm going to knock because you're the only one that can. You're the only one that's able. And plus, you made a promise. And you're not man to lie or change his mind. Let God be true and let man be a liar. But God is always true. God is always true. And he says, stretch out your hand, O Lord, and make your church powerful again, O God. Make the church powerful again. You know, we have everything. Everything more than the New Testament church had. And the church seemed to have lost its power. I read something that really touched me. Really touched me. I'm not sure if it was Francis Chan or Max Lucado. But I'm going to tell you the story because it was so good. And this is a story. There was a little girl. She was about 4 or 5 years old. And she was going to have a birthday party. So her daddy asked her, Dad, he asked her, how about if we just cut a cake? And how many of your friends will come? She goes, well, my closest friends will come. Now, she's little. She's small. And then he goes, well, how about if I go and get a pony? How many friends will come? Oh, a lot of friends will come. Well, how about if I add a pony and a clown? And she goes, well, good. And then more people will come. And all of a sudden, the little girl, it hits her. Her eyes got open. And you go, but Daddy, they're not coming for me then. They're coming for the clown and the pony, not for my birthday. The church has become that. We offer them lights. We offer them smoke. We offer them hip-hop. We offer them whatever hop there is in the church. But we don't have power. Because you see, they're coming for all the lights, all the smokes, but they're not coming for Jesus. They're coming for the pony. They're coming for the circus. Because Jesus is not enough. And when the church wakes up again, and I'm not just saying Elohim, I'm not saying this, I say the church at large. But when the church wakes up again and make Jesus the center and make Jesus the maximum and make Jesus the attraction, oh, he will stretch out his hand again and empower the church of Jesus Christ. Because you see, we have to stretch out so he can stretch back and we have contact with the living God. And the reason we're stretching is because he loves us. And the reason we're stretching is because he wants to keep us healthy. And it's not our theme a healthy spiritual life. And you know, when I thought about going to the souls, I said, Lord, the stretching means circulation. It means the flow of blood. When we circulate and we stretch out for lost souls, oh God, we're circulating the blood of Jesus. We're circulating the blood that can destroy sin. We're circulating the blood that can bring hope. We're circulating the blood that washes you and me from everything we've ever done. When we circulate, when we stretch out. So today, I'm asking you, my brothers, because everyone in this room, there's absolutely no one an exemption. We all need to stretch a little bit more. We all need to stretch when we're tired. We all need to stretch to get more power. Oh, we all need to stretch until those dead things come back to life because he made us a promise. And his promises are yes and amen. And I believe them. So concluding, God still stretches us. If you find yourself very comfortable, or you find yourself in a complacent state, stagnant waters, you don't go forward, you don't go backwards. Last year, you were in the same place. 2 years ago, you were in the same place. 5 years ago, you find yourself in the same place. It's time to stretch out to God. He still can do the impossible. See, we have put God so much in a box that we've lost the miraculous power of the church. We've lost what it is to cast out demons. We've lost what it is to destroy the works of the devil. We lost what it is if someone's addicted. It's good to have counselors, and my friend's a professional counselor, but I'm telling you, there's a time, and she'll testify to this, only Jesus can set the captives free. And perhaps you're here, and you're struggling with something. Don't go home in that struggle. All because the church is supposed to be a living organism. It's alive because of Jesus Christ. The church is supposed to be supernatural because his hand is stretched over the church. And the church has forsaken her master. The church is like that party with the little girl. Well, she was happy. Her friends were coming. Until she realized that how many people wouldn't come because the pony and the clown wouldn't be there. So she wasn't enough. We've made Jesus Christ not enough. We've made Jesus Christ that he's not enough. But today, I really truly believe, my brothers and sisters, Jesus wants to stretch over this congregation in a new way, in a fresh way, in a place that we've never been before. And he's stretching us, and he's stretching us, and he's stretching us, because the impossible is possible for Christ. We can do, we can still see miracles. But I'm going to tell you something. He wants to use us for miracles. Miracles are not only for the third world countries. Miracles for here. Miracles for now. Oh, stretch yourself over that dead marriage. And stretch yourself over that dead relationship. Oh, stretch yourself over those things that come and gone and they left you hopeless. Because Jesus is in the miracle business. He wants us to be stretched forward. So I'm going to invite you to the altar. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And you might find yourself in any of these categories. If something is dead in your life, I sure know there's people in my family. I said, Lord, what went wrong? They're dead in their sin. I mean, really, they're dead. I'm going to stretch out in prayer until life comes back. And remember, right, Pastor? Remember, a prophet couldn't go near a dead thing. It was against the Jewish law, but he obeyed God. And there's sometimes God will call you to do something that others will say, oh, no, no, no. Religion will go, you can't do that. You're a prophet. You can't touch that dead thing. I said, go touch, because I've sent you. So maybe here today, there's someone, dead hopes, dead dreams, dead child. I invite you to come. Others, you've been faithful. Moses was faithful. But you've grown weary, because the battle is intense and your arms are failing you. And you have, it's not sin. It's not that you're angry. You're tired. And if you're tired, I'm inviting you to this altar. Now for the other group, God is telling you to stretch out. He's saying you need to do more. You need to go out and actually stand on water and walk like Peter. You need to actually go out there and do more than what you're doing. Oh, shut those voices that say that you can't. Because I'm commissioning, saying you can. So for those that you know God is calling you for more and he's stretching you out, I invite you to the altar. And for the other group, that we want God to stretch his mighty hand upon us, and that we will do great miracles in his name, that we wouldn't be the same church down the street, and we wouldn't be the same church, oh, wherever the church may be, oh, but that we will have a separate identity, and that we'll know Elohim like the church of power, because signs and wonders are being
Christ's name. If you're in that group, I invite you to come. And I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to wait for you. Whatever group. You can be an elder. You can be a deacon. You can be a pastor. You can be a young person. I'm going to wait for you. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to pray not for you, but I'm going to pray with you. Because the ground at Calvary is leveled. And the ground at Calvary is for everyone. Oh, but we want to stretch out. However God is stretching, I'm going to wait. And if you feel compelled to come, come. Come. Shut the voices in your ears. Shut them off and come. Oh, come and be stretched of God. Come, come, come and be stretched. Because when God stretches us, he won't tear us. When God stretches us, he won't injure us. Oh, when God stretches us, there's life and life forevermore. And I'm asking you to come because I know that I know.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.